Good evening, everybody. Who had the power nap like I had? I was out for the count. Anyway. Well, who remembers? It's been a long time ago, a week ago. Who remembers what we talked about last week? Don't all say it at once. Trust. That's good. That's really good. I really feel good about what we're doing right now. Anybody remember anything about, you know, that structural tension? And we talked about where we were and where we're going. And I hope you've been thinking about that. And then Claire, was that really your revelation about that you told Susie about where you're going? And okay, I don't know. That was pretty good revelation anyway. One thing that's amazing is, like, as pastoring for 20 years and have preached a lot of messages, and I get feedback at the door from a few people about messages. And sometimes folks share things that I didn't even say in the message, but they thought I said it because the Holy Spirit was dealing with them and talking to them. And so what I love about this trust challenge is we do have someone ministering and sharing things, but then you get to break up in groups and share what the Lord is talking to you about. And I think that's really cool. It's a much stronger way of impacting and learning and growing. And so I just want to encourage you to continue to do that, to listen to the Holy Spirit. The way these TCIs are set up, we have a message. We have a response to the message. That may be prayer or an activity. And then we break up into the groups and to share. But that sharing part is in the small groups is just as important as everything else. So I want to encourage you. I heard last week from feedback that we started at a higher place than we did last year. That people just kind of jumped right back into it and knew what they were doing. And so I just want to encourage you. That's an important part of what we're doing. So let me pray, and I'm going to turn it over to Nate. Father in heaven, we just give you praise. And I thank you that we are learning about trusting you. And you're showing us things and teaching us things. And I thank you. We just open our hearts right now to the Holy Spirit. Speak to every one of us. And just bless all that happens here. We are moving forward together as a congregation. We're going somewhere as a church and as individuals and families and businesses. And we're going to the place that you have for us. So I just thank you for it. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'll take that one. Coleman, come on up here, man. Coleman's got something to share with us tonight.
Hey, everybody. Hey. For everyone who don't know me, my name is Coleman Tanton. Parent, or son of Kathy and Tony Tanton. Love my mama.
My dad. Good for you, man.
And one of the things that I am trusting in God for is that he will show me my gifts, my talents and gifts through Jesus, you know. And I think for me to be able to do that, I'm going to step out and get out of my comfort zone. And this is definitely out of my comfort zone, talking in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But for me to be able to reach people and share the gospel with people, I'm going to have to take a step of faith, you know. And the other day I was looking down at these bands that we got, and I noticed that mine had washed off. And so I had these bands made for everybody, and they're engraved with the word trust, which is pretty cool because God's engraved in all of us, and he's not going to wash away.
That's right.
He won't leave us nor forsake us. He's standing in front of beside us, just saying, trust in me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So amen. I got some bands. Kristen's going to pass them out.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Coleman. So cool, man. I think several people had the idea we're going to upgrade our bands. They didn't like the office supplies that we passed out last week. So they said we want something a little more permanent, something that can't wash away. So Coleman, thank you for taking the initiative and purchasing those for us. That's a big step of faith there, and we'll pass those out in the group. And it's pretty significant because as we go through this trust challenge, we should each be upgrading in our trust level, right? And so it's significant that we're upgrading our bands this week. Who knows what we'll have next week? May have like gold jewelry or something. I don't know. Who's going to be buying that? But by all means, keep me in the loop on that. Tonight we're talking about GPS, And if you will bear with me, I am preaching with the Apple TV and upgrading our technology here. And so thank you, Steve Jobs. Okay. How many of you have ever used GPS? Just raise your hand. Everybody know what GPS is, right? Global Positioning System. Space-based satellite navigation system. Provides location, time information in all weather conditions, according to Wikipedia, that is. Anywhere on or near the Earth where there is an unobstructed line of sight to four or more GPS satellites. So before our cellular devices were like attached to our hips and we had GPS everywhere we go, how many of you use like TomTom or Garmin or one of those GPS devices? Okay, those are great for trips, like you put in your destination, you know, where you want to be, and you put in your, you know, it automatically knows where you are because, and this is no conspiracy theory, here's the truth about GPS. If you have it enabled on your phone, the government knows where you are at all times. Because the GPS satellite, you have your location services on, it's a fact. GPS knows your position at any given part of the day, all right? Now, GPS navigation really is a perfect simile for what we're doing in the Trust Challenge. I mean, out last week, we kind of did a review. Like, we identified where we are, our current reality. We identified where we want to go, the dreams, the goals, the visions that we have for our future. And how are we going to get there? And we're going to get there by navigating this route that God has for us as he directs our steps, right? And we talked about, you know, the tension between those two points and, you know, your current reality being one point and the place that you want to go being the other point. And the whole idea that we focused on is that whatever position you focus on, whatever you lean more towards, that's the place that the tension will draw you to. Inevitably, you're going to go in that direction. So if you're focused more on your current reality, you're going to go that direction. But if you're focused on your goals, your dreams, your visions, what God has for you, you're going to go in that direction. But as you continue to put focus on it, heads up here, that failed miserably. Should have practiced that more. As you continue to put focus on it, you can just soar past those dreams, goals, and ideas that you have. Claire, come on up here for a second and explain to us a little bit more. You've been getting a lot of hype about your revelation here, and I want you to kind of go a little bit more in detail about that because it really plays into what we're talking about tonight. GPS, here you are. You can stay there or come on up, whatever you'd like. Okay.
What I was talking to Susie about after last week was, you know, we all got that sheet to fill out, and at the bottom it said, list your goals or where it is you want to be. And, you know, the music played on, and I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and I thought about my standard answer. You know, we all want to be in a better off than we are now, but a part of me I just didn't even want to put anything there. Because I don't want what I usually think about or where I think I'm supposed to be. I want to be where God wants me to be. And when we really think about trust, that's sometimes a hard thing. Sometimes, you know, it's called the trust challenge, you may have noticed. It's not a trust cakewalk, trust picnic, trust fun fest. It's a challenge because sometimes part of trusting God is not just writing down what your dreams and goals are, where you want to be, but sometimes that means trusting God enough to let go of what you thought you wanted to be, Matt Wiley, or where you wanted to go. And sometimes, you know, I was telling Susie, Mike will tell you, I love to be entertained. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. But, you know, again, mentioning tension, another thing about tension is two forces going in opposite directions. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're pulling towards what you always thought you wanted or where you thought was the thing you wanted to do, but maybe God has a different idea. And sometimes when you try so hard to get where you think you want to be and it's not the plan for God, it's not God's plan for you, or it's not where God has for you to be, it's no fun. It's stressful. It's hard work. There's strife. You're just pushing, trying so hard to get someplace that God never meant for you to be. And that's sometimes hard if you've been doing that for a long time. Talk about patterns and all the things we've been learning about in School for Life. It's sometimes hard to get out of that and really say, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to let go of everything that I thought I was supposed to do. And finally, I'm just going to let you show me. That is a challenge. And if you think that in 8 weeks you got it, sorry, come back. Because it's going to be a long time. And there were some great testimonies last year's Trust Challenge. Some great things happened in that 8 week period. But if it didn't have, if it took a little longer than 8 weeks for you, I just encourage you, keep going. Keep going. Because I'm pretty sure that what I'm believing God for may take a little more than 8 weeks. Yeah. And it is a trust challenge. And I would challenge you to join me. You know, we're separated into 8 groups or 9 groups, 10 groups now, but you're not limited to that group. Find a crazy faith friend in this group of nuts we have here, and there's somebody you can hook up with and share with and talk about these things with and hold you accountable, because we all have some place to be. God has somewhere for each one of us, and it's sometimes a really difficult thing to just say, I'm going to put it all aside and trust you. But that's what we're here for. And that message that Susie preached this morning was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Listen to it again. Mm-hmm. Listen to it all week and couple it with this trust challenge. And, you know, something's happening. Something's happening. We're going somewhere. Are you going too?
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. You know, I think the answer, you realize that there's not just the tension between our current reality and where we want to go. There's also the tension between our current reality, where we want to go, and then where God wants us to go. So there's 3-point tension there. And I think the answer to solve that tension between those 3 points is to realize that there's another GPS that we're talking about here, and this is God's positioning system. God has a positioning system for us. You see, the scripture talks about in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I like what the Amplified says, and we'll put it up on the screen for you. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. You see, God has a final outcome for each of us. He has a desired end. He has a destiny. He has a destination, a final destination for us. And we have to realize that the difference between God and us, and God doesn't operate in space and time like we think He operates. It's a whole different like sphere that He's on a whole nother level, right? We realize God's ways are higher than our ways, and we can't understand a lot of stuff that's going on there. But we have to realize that in the spirit realm, you're already positioned where He wants you. In the spirit realm, you are already at the position He wants you. Scripture says in Ephesians 2:6, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. You see, we have a new position. God's given us a new position tonight. Everybody say that. I've got a new position. This is the position you think about your desired or God's final destination for you. It's going to include this, that you are seated with Him in heavenly places. This is God's position for you. We have to realize that we are already there. He's given us a position of grace. He's given us a position of authority, a position of righteousness, a position of provision, a position of peace, a position of well-being, a position of wholeness, a position of favor. Everybody say this, I'm already there. So the deal is, we're not trying to get somewhere. We have to realize that in the spirit realm, we are already there. We have already reached our final destination. And this is kind of hard to wrap our mind around. Like, did anybody ever see the movie Interstellar? Anybody see that movie yet? It's such a mind-blowing movie, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it's like, it'll make your head spin when you think about the dimensions that are out there. And I know this is kind of science, like a science way science fiction movie, okay, Interstellar is. We realize that we operate in more than one dimension here. There's the physical realm that we're in that we can see and operate our five physical senses, right? But there's also the spirit realm, right?
And also the spiritual, like if we look around here, we'll see, you know, beautiful people and some awesome faces, and we'll see people we recognize and other people we may not know very well. But if our eyes were open to what's really going on here, we would see like a bunch of angels in here, right? We would recognize that there's more happening here than what meets the eye. You understand what I'm saying? So there's more to what's happening in you. There's more to what's happening in this trust challenge. We keep saying something's happening. And there is something happening. We can't necessarily put our finger on it or identify it with our natural senses, but something's happening here. It's happening in the Spirit. It's happening in the Spirit. Now think about this. When we talk about where we want to be, or the position God has for us, this position of favor, of grace, position of righteousness, of wholeness, we realize that we're already seated there. How do we move, like this is in the spirit realm, how do we get from to there, like naturally speaking? Because there's another tension that we're talking about. This position God has for us in the spirit realm, this is where he already sees us. Am I above your head here a little bit? Like, go with me in the science fiction realm of your mind. The position, he already sees us there, right? But how do we get there, naturally speaking, in the place that we can see it, manifested in this physical realm? How do we do that? Well, I think the key to getting there is seeing it, seeing yourself there, seeing your final destination. And I'll give an analogy. As we talk about the tale of two teleporters. This is getting way too science fiction-y for you guys, probably. So there's a teleporter in a movie called Jumper. Did anybody see that? Jumper? A cool movie where the guy, he's got this ability where he can teleport from one place to another. Everybody knows the concept of teleportation, right? It's purely fictional, I believe. However, we do see glimpses of it in the scripture, right? Philip. Yeah, and like, you know, when Jesus walked on the water to the disciples, like suddenly, after he got in the boat, suddenly they were on the other side. I think they teleported, I don't know. Purely hypothetical. But, if the teleportation was real, this is getting way out there, guys. Jumper, back to Jumper. So here's the deal with Jumper. He's got these abilities, and he can only teleport to the place that he can see, though. Like if he has a postcard of Egypt, he can fix his mind on that, and boom, he's there with the Sphinx. All right. So, but if he can see it, he can go there. All right. Then there's the fictional character Peekaboo from the Flash comic books. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Flash. Oh man, tough crowd tonight. So Peekaboo is another teleporter. However, she can only go where she can see. Like, she can't go, like, if she sees something on a postcard, she can't go there. Like, she can only go where she can physically see. So if she were in this room, she would be contained to this room unless she could see outside a window, okay? So she's limited to what she can see, to where she can go. And that's the whole point of this, is even in teleportation, when you can get there, lickety-split, the teleporter is limited to their vision. Okay, connect the dots there. So, you and I think are there. There's a similar story for us. We may not be, you know, these science fiction junkies or Beam Me Up Scotty or any of that kind of stuff, but where we're going is limited to our vision. Where we're going is limited to our vision, and I think a lot of times we are very short-sighted, aren't we? Like we have this condition of nearsightedness, like we only focus on what's in front of us. We're surrounded by our current reality, and we let that dictate what we're going to have, not only presently, but what we're going to have continually. But I believe God's got a brighter future for us. God's got a better destination for us. He's got a better position for us. And that's why it's so important, and when we talk about vision, that the scripture we read last week, Habakkuk 2:2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. You see, God has a vision for us, and if we can't see it, if we can't see this position that he has for us, we're going to have a tough time getting there. We have to see it. We have to internalize it. We have to see it not only in our mind's eye, but we have to see it in our spirit. It's not just imagination. It's a man, I got to see myself in the Word. I got to see what God has for me. I've got to internalize this and process it and meditate on it so much to the point that it flows out of me. All right? We're talking about God's positioning system. So our main scripture here, we're talking about trust in the Lord. How do we get there? How do we write the vision? What is the vision that we're writing? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Okay, so we go back to the opening idea, the whole GPS thing. We have a position that we're currently in, and a lot of times it's the only thing that we can see because we're so nearsighted. We're short-sighted in our vision. But we have an idea of what could be, what might be, what maybe in the future, but we haven't internalized it as now, as present tense, like it's mine now. And that's what we need to move from, seeing this in the future as seeing it as presently ours. Right? That's what faith is, right? Believing you receive it already. So you can believe you receive your final destination even before your final destination comes to pass. You can believe and receive that. You can see yourself in that position even before physically you're there. And you're seeing the vision. You're writing the vision. You're making it plain. All right, so this is all part of trusting Him. How are we going to get from here to there where God sees us, where we see ourselves presently? And we have to realize that every step of the way, He's going to lead, He's going to direct, He's going to guide. In all our ways, we acknowledge Him, He shall direct your paths. Where is He directing us? He's directing us to the position that He has for us. If we're listening, if we're following His leading, if we trust in Him enough to do what He says to do, then we're going to end up where He has positioned us already. So let's focus on this. This is conditional here. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You have a part to play, don't you? Everybody say, I got a part to play. So our part is trusting. Our part is acknowledging. What does acknowledging mean? Well, acknowledge in its simplest form is to admit to be true, to admit the truth. We admit, God, you're right. God, your word is true. Your plan for me is true. It's a truer plan than the plan that I have for myself. It's a better plan than the plan I have for myself. So in all our ways, acknowledge Him. But what are we acknowledging about Him? What are we acknowledging altogether? There are three things I want to draw your attention to. First of all, we have to acknowledge the Word. We have to realize that God's promise must have preeminence in our lives. That God's Word is a superior word than any other word in our lives. God's voice is a superior voice than any other voice that we hear or listen to, right? We have to put priority. We have to make God's Word priority. That's what it means to acknowledge Him. Is we acknowledge the Word because God and His Word are synonymous, aren't they? God and His Word are one. God's given us His Word. Now think about this. I've been reading through the Bible this year on one of the Bible plans on the Bible app, the Bible in 1 year or whatever. I'm trying to read through the Bible again. I read through the Bible a number of years ago, but I want to go back through it, you know. And like every scripture is speaking to me, like even the Book of Job, I'm learning stuff. Like especially chapter 42, it's awesome. So I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm in Exodus right now, and I see some of this kind of take place in the children of Israel. You realize, you know, that God is delivering them out of the oppressive hand of the Egyptians in the book of Exodus, right? That's what it's all about, their exit from Egypt. And God's given them a promise, right? What does He say? You're going to go to a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. So He's given a promise. You're going to go to the land of Canaan. It's going to be awesome there. I've delivered you out of this oppression. And I have something in your future. So current reality, you know, right after they escape, they're kind of, you know, in the wilderness, but they're so much better off, aren't they? They've plundered the Egyptians. And not as in like a violent plunder. They just simply asked for their gold and their silver. And the Egyptians saw them with so much favor that they just gave it to them. And they left rich, wealthy. I mean, that's not a bad reality. Not a bad reality. But listen to this. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years between their current reality and God's promise. Why? Were they acknowledging him, I wonder? You know what they were acknowledging in a lot of situations? They're acknowledging, one, this water is nasty. Remember the water was bitter? They're like, man, this water sucks. Complaint number one. Number two, we don't have any food to eat. What are they acknowledging? They're acknowledging their current reality. Is that going to get you to your future? When you acknowledge your current reality, is it really going to get you to where God has you positioned? They should have been focusing on God's promise. God's promise is a better promise than my current reality, isn't it? Even though I'm rich, I've got gold upon gold, it's not doing me any good right now because I need milk and honey. I'm hungry. But guess what? God has promised milk and honey. God has promised a better future. But yet they spent so much of their time complaining because they didn't put priority in God's word. They didn't acknowledge God's promise. So we need to acknowledge the word of God. What has he promised us? What has he promised us? And just that's what we were talking about, that list last week, your current reality, God's vision for you. And in between there, it's not, you know, in our practical thinking, what steps should I do, you know, Krista and I are believing for a new vehicle. Well, what we could do is we could take a tax refund money and we could sell one vehicle and then we could get two vehicles. But that's something I worked up in my head. You see what I'm talking about? How you can work, you can, like your own understanding, can't you lean to that? Like you lean to your own understanding? But you may short circuit a miracle in the process. Okay, what else do we have to acknowledge? You have to acknowledge your identity. Acknowledge your identity. This is all wrapped up in identity. Trusting God is all wrapped up in our identity. Who we are in Christ, what we have because of Christ, what we can do through Christ. His desired end that he has for us is only going to come about as we acknowledge that his word has preeminence in our lives. And number two, that we are who God says we are. I mean, that message this morning, spot on about identity. And I love what it says in Philemon 1:6. The sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And a lot of times we talk about this verse in regards to evangelism, don't we? You've heard about that in regards to evangelism, that you, as you share your faith with others, that if you acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, then your evangelism will be effective. You know, and that's part of it. But I think about this. As we read it in the Amplified, I think we'll see a little bit greater light into this. It says, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. So I see this, that there's another degree of sharing that we fail to see in this scripture. It's not just sharing as in evangelism, but there's also sharing as in sharing our faith together. That we're going somewhere together, that together we acknowledge our identity, that we stir each other up with our identity. And that's what all these groups are about, or as Jana coined it, trust teams. These trust teams are all about sharing together. And as a result of sharing, and then the participation, it's important that we participate, right? That we'll see that there's something produced within us, a fuller understanding, a greater understanding of what we have in Christ. Amen. And then finally, we have to acknowledge our position. And again, this goes back to our identity. This goes back to Ephesians 2:6, where he has seated us with him in the heavenly realms. This is where we're at. This is who we are. This is where we're going. This is where we already are in the spirit realm, where God already sees us. We've already got it. We have to know where we're going. And that's all about acknowledging our position. I've heard this said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And we may not know all the specifics. Like some of us, we're really grappling with some specifics about our lives, aren't we? Like we're really wanting to know what's Specifically, what is the next step for us? Or, you know, like Coleman was sharing at the beginning, what is that next thing that I have to know, or the next thing I have to do? And we realize that the specifics are going to flow. They are going to come, and God's going to speak to you individually. He's probably speaking to you tonight, telling you what that next step is. But it begins with the generalities of knowing that the final destination that God has for us is a destination that includes all of these things that we're talking about tonight. And as we acknowledge our position, we can trust that the Lord directs our steps. And I love this. So why try to understand everything along the way? Proverbs 20:24. He directs our steps. He directs our steps. But so many of us, we want to know what's next year going to look like? What's 5 years from now? What is your 5-year plan? You know, I couldn't tell you my 5-year plan. And if I told you my 5-year plan, it'd probably be wrong, because I couldn't have told you 5 years ago that I'd be here. You understand, like here at this current reality, I couldn't tell you I had 2 daughters. I thought I would have a son. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? I love my kids. But you see what I'm talking about here? Like, let's trust in Him to direct our steps. Like, Jeremy, you would probably think that you would still be working at the bank right now. But you're not. You're in a new position. And 5 years from now, you'll be in, who knows? But that's what we trust Him. He directs our steps. And so every step along the way, I don't have to try to understand it. I have to try to understand, God, why do you have me in this position? Like, this is weird. I'm uncomfortable right here. But I know that you're working something in me, and you're moving me along to the place that you want me to be. And of course, we know this scripture, Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every step, every detail of their lives. He delights in every detail of their lives. Realize that God has a position for us. He's got a positioning system, and He's working that positioning system so that you and I arrive at our final destination. But there's some keys along the way. There's some things that we have to do. We have to trust Him with all that we are, everything that we have. We have to acknowledge His word. God, Your word has preeminence in my life. I'm not going to try to lean on my own understanding or do what I feel like I should do in this moment, but I want to trust You. I want to trust Your leading, because You're going to lead me and You're going to guide me. You're going to show me that next step of my life. We have to acknowledge our identity, because out of that is going to flow our destiny, really. I mean, if we understand who we are in Christ and what we have, man, there's nothing we can't do. There's nothing we can't do. And then finally, we acknowledge our position. Isn't it, it's so interesting that we talk about God in terms of God, He knows the end from the beginning. And I think God does a lot of backwards planning. Like, He sees the end result and He says, okay, what are we going to do to get this person to the end result? And so we have to acknowledge the end. Where's our end? And I'm not talking about in specifics, because you and I couldn't know those in specifics right now. But I'm talking about, what is God's general idea for us? Where does He have us? Where has He positioned us? Let me pray for you, and then we'll do an activity together. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. As we acknowledge You, You direct our paths, and You've got a good path for us. You've got a good plan for us. You have a place, a final destination, a final outcome for us, a destiny that You have. And so, Father, I thank You that as we trust in You, that You lead us and You guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to acknowledge our position. Last year, we had a giant, and we came up, and I was about to move that down there. Grab it right here.
Here you go. Take it.
I got this part. If you just put that thing down.
Just give me that.
Just put it down right
easy
here.
Easy there. Easy there, Popeye.
I can't move my arm.
You're going to feel that tomorrow, man. He's going to be the first Glory person in the God. Healing line.
Okay. So we're going to acknowledge our position. So here I'm going to give you something to think about before we do it. Because I was thinking about what he was saying there when Nate was giving it to us, by the way, Nate, it was really good. So acknowledging our position tonight, so he said, well, first we got to acknowledge the Word. Okay, think about this. Where does the Word say that you are? Who does the Word say that you are? What does the Word say that you have already? Think about those things. Let's acknowledge the Word. It's the Word of God. It's God's Word to us. So we have the Word. So what does the Word say you are? And when we acknowledge our identity, think of it in this aspect. Who do you say that you are? Because if I have to identify myself, you know, I write a check and they want to see my identification. I pull my wallet out and show them my ID. Who is it that you ID with? What are you saying? What does your Word say? I mean, we know what the Word of God says because we got that book written down. What are you saying? So if you're going to acknowledge your identity, what are you saying? What do you say? Because most of us are like Nate was saying, and we have a mountain in our life. We see the mountain, and we camp out in front of the mountain. We go get the tape the last time that I had a mountain in front of me. I had a tape, a message I like to listen to, and I play that tape again because it really kind of stirs me up. Stirs up my mountain moving faith. And then I call my friends and we all get in front of the mountain there together and we sing Kumbaya, all these other things. We encourage one another at the foot of the mountain. What the Word says we do with mountains is that we speak to mountains. And then, you know, that's what we skip sometimes. We do all the stuff, read the book, listen to the tape, you know, worship with our friends, all at the foot of the mountain. But we never do what the Bible says we should do, which is speak to that mountain. And it will be removed. So you have to identify who are you saying that you are. And then the last one he said was that we have to acknowledge our position. And this is just where we have to say that I am already where the Word says I am, which is on the other side of that mountain. I mean, where does the Word say that we are? We were raised up together and we are seated together with Him in heavenly places right now. That's where we are. So what problems do we have there? If I'm seated together with Him in Christ already in heavenly places, why are we even worried about this mountain or whatever the deal is? Okay, so you got those three things. So tonight what we're going to do is this is our GPS. We're positioning ourselves where we are. Now, it may not be where you are, current reality, but it's where you are, current reality, based on God's Word about where you are. Okay? So that may be that you're healed. It may be that your bills are paid. It may be that your family, marriage, whatever, is restored. It may be that you have peace. It may be that you know the next step of what God has for you. Whatever that is, that's what you're going to write here on the board. Y'all follow me? So you see where we're going? Okay, this is how we're going to do it. We'll start with the outside edges first. You come, get your pen, write your position, who you are, who you are already. Then you just go sit back down to your place. And then, or you can just go on from there. You can go on to your group, right? So you just outside the edges, y'all come in. Write on the board, then go sit in your group, and then we'll just do the inside row by row by row. I'm not that great on logistics, but if y'all will bear with me, that's how we'll do it. All right? Are y'all ready? Outside guys, let's go. Then just dismiss yourself right to your group.